I was sitting there thinking when y'all sang, it just felt like this is kind of like the old time way. I just long for the old time way. And I don't feel like I'm an old man, but I'm telling you, I really long for them days back. Amen. We're in a busy, busy world. I think we're so busy sometimes God don't have an opportunity to really work on us like He wants to. Lord, help me to slow down. Amen. Let God work in my life. I'm telling you. Sometimes we just get too busy. Too busy. Too busy for the Lord. Amen. You can get more busy about the work than you can about the Lord. Amen. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Certainly enjoyed the day. Had a day of rest. And then got to eat supper with the pastor. Amen. Took us 2 hours to eat supper. I'm telling you. We spent most of that feasting on manna from above. Amen. I'm glad the ringing came up. We wasn't able to leave. Amen. I love you, Pastor. I got a kindred spirit. I feel like we do. Amen. Believe the same things. Trying to do the same things. Amen. Church is about the same size. Amen. And so I appreciate good godly men. You got a good godly pastor, family, and I appreciate that. Amen. It's good to meet good men of God. Amen. Been knowing Brother Donnie a long time. Brother Donnie, we go all the way back, I guess, Pleasant View, maybe Pleasant View Camp Meeting, where we met Brother Raines's, and been knowing Brother Donnie. Appreciate him to stand for the Lord. Amen. I apologize. I apologize for having a little bit of physical problems. Amen. I didn't have that till Sunday afternoon, and I don't know what happened Sunday, but something come on me. I about resigned that I got a summer cold, I guess. But I hate for you to listen to my voice like that. Amen. But anyway, I'll just do the best I can. And maybe after I start preaching, it'll go away. Amen. All right, Genesis. If you turn to Genesis tonight, Genesis chapter number 7. Genesis chapter number 7. Amen. Genesis chapter number 7. Praise the Lord. Thank you all again for everything. Nice room we're staying in. Got rest today. I appreciate that. Amen. We were tired when we got here yesterday. I'm not complaining. We were just tired. Had a lot going on this weekend. But we rested today. Amen. And I thank the Lord for the good day. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 7. If you're physically able to stand. If you're not, just remain seated. Genesis chapter number 7, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee. By 7, the male, his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by 2, the male and his female, of the fowls also of the air, by 7, the male, the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Read that again. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And I want to take my text from that verse 24 in this phrase. Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. Now I want to preach on this thought tonight. Surviving in our society. Surviving in our society. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege we've had to come and be in this great church and be with this good people. Thank you for the good singing tonight, the good touch of God upon the singing tonight in the choir. God, how we thank you for how that's blessed our hearts and prepared us for the preaching of God's word. Help me now, Lord. You know I need a physical touch. Then God, above that, I need a spiritual touch. And I pray you'd help me to preach tonight as if this would be the last time I preach. And God, may the word of God run tonight, find lodging in our hearts, bring forth fruit in our lives, and help us to leave this place more determined to live for God in these dark days. Save some soul, reclaim some backslider, and help God's people to get closer to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Read of 3 arks in the Bible. Noah's ark, Moses' ark, and the ark of the covenant. Here tonight we're reading about Noah's ark. And I think we would all know this, amen, not to be technical, but the Ark of Noah was in type, represents the Israel nation spared during the tribulation. And I feel like I do need to say that, amen. Enoch was raptured in chapter number 5, and Noah is a type of Israel being spared in the tribulation. But over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, here's what the Bible says about that in verse 37. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as is in the days that were before the flood, that got my attention, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so he says, as it was in the days of Noah before the flood. And so when I preach on this tonight about Noah, him being in typology, a type of the Israel during the tribulation, he said before Noah's day or in Noah's day, it was before the flood. And so I think that can point to the day in which we're living. I believe we're living right before the rapture of the church, and then the tribulation is going to take place after that. But in those days that precede that, he said it's going to be like that in our day, as it was before Noah was caught up or taken in the tribulation to be protected. So I think the analogy is that we can find out what was happening in Noah's day before the flood and make an application to where we are today. Amen. May I say, number one, very simply, it was a day of corruption. There was liberal religion. Let's think it started back over in Genesis chapter number 4 when Abel would not bring a blood sacrifice. And when Cain would not bring a blood sacrifice, and Abel was willing to obey God and slay an animal and bring a blood sacrifice. You see, Cain wanted to have beautiful religion. He wanted everything to be beautiful in the service. And God said, I don't need a beautiful service, I need a bloody service. And so we're in that day. Liberal religion denies the blood. They don't want to talk about the blood of Christ. And I'm not telling you things you hadn't heard 100 times, but a lot of songs now in our liberal churches, they've taken the blood out. And so we're living, and on I could preach on that, amen. I read the other day that over 50% of evangelical preachers do not believe in a literal hell. I'm talking about evangelical religion. Over half the preachers do not believe in a burning hell. Amen. I won't shock nobody, and I'm not going to shock nobody in this church, but I read where Billy Graham said that he did not believe there was fire in hell. Now here's a man that's world renowned for being an evangelical preacher, and he does not believe there's fire in hell. I believe that before I got saved.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I got saved because I didn't want to go to a fiery hell. And here we are in our day. There is liberal religion everywhere you turn. My wife was brought up, and I'm not picking on this denomination. My wife was brought up in a Methodist church, never heard the gospel one time till she went to a Baptist church. So we're living in a day of liberal religion. I could preach on that the rest of the night. We're living in a day of lack of restraint. The Bible said in chapter 6, in verse number 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, I would not do anything disgraceful in the pulpit, but y'all know, and y'all help us, and I could not appreciate enough what y'all do to help us. But I'm telling you, I lived in the world, and I'm sorry to say I lived an ungodly life of drinking and some drugs before I got saved. But I'm telling you, since we started a men's home, I am telling you, I have learned that this world is so wicked. And the men that we're dealing with are so wicked that it was all be almost embarrassing for brethren to get together and talk, not brothers and sisters, brothers to get together and talk about what's going on in that world. We're living a day, a wicked day. There is no restraint. I've been told some things since we started that home that I'm telling you embarrass me of what people do to get drugs. We're living in a wicked day. Are you listening to me? There is no restraint. Their minds, their morals are polluted. Are you listening? I like what Brother Donnie said tonight. This is where I belong. I am more at home at church than anywhere I go. Thank God to be able to come out of that filth that we're in and come into a sanctuary where God's presence is manifested. I tell you, I live for that. Would to God the church would live for that. It's a day of lack of restraint. It's a day of lawless rebellion. The Bible said in verse number 11, it said the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And I don't have to enlarge on these things. I'm just simply saying that's the day in which he was living. That's the day in which we're living. Amen and amen. It is a day of violence. Amen. I mean, people kill you now for nothing. Amen. I have dealt with men in prison. Hey, I got one man in prison, right, that I dealt with. I was preaching on a service, and while I was preaching, he come running down the aisle, said, "I can't take it no more. I can't take it," and hit the altar and call on God to get saved. After the service, I talked to the chaplain, Neil. I said, "Chaplain Neil, I don't know if he asked this, but what is that man in prison for?" He said, "Brother Willis, he got dry, high on drugs and murdered his wife and didn't even know it." He said he put her in the closet, and the next morning when he got up, he opened the closet, and there was his wife dead in the closet that he had murdered and didn't even know he killed her. And I could go on and on, and everybody in the room's got a story. On and on I could go about what a violent world we're living in. The Bible said it was in the days of Noah. It's going to be that way when he comes. Are you listening to me, church? It was a wicked day, only evil continually. The Bible said that's all they thought about. It says in verse number 5, what? It says even the very imagination of their thoughts, of their hearts, was only evil continually. Help me, church, help me. We're living today. I was in the prison visiting, and as I walked down the hall, Chaplain Neal was taking me down the foyer to get to a cell block, and I noticed it was sweeping blood. And they had the place kind of blocked off, and we had to ease around. And I don't want to tell nothing that's uncouth. But so we went around, and I noticed where they were sweeping, it was red. And so we got back there, made a visit, come back out. Chaplain Neal, we got back up to the front. Chaplain Neal said, "Preacher, you know what that was about, where they blocked us off?" I said, "No." He said they put two men in a cell block together, and one guy had raped a 10-year-old baby. And the man that he was in the cell with found out, and he tried to kill him. I'm telling you, we're living in a day. I would not let my children, you better listen to me. I tell you, I would not let my, you say you're too overprotected. We're living in a world that, I'm telling you, does not care. Now, I'm sad to say, if some of that goes on in church. Are you listening? I tell moms and dads in our church, I said, "You go ahead and let your kids run around. Hey, man, get behind corners, get in room." I tell you, you better, even in church, you better watch it. It don't take but one instance. Yeah, man. Is anybody listening? It's a wicked day. I'm telling you, that stuff's coming from what we're seeing. Minds are perverted. Hey, it's affected us. It's affected the church. I could tell you one of the straightest preachers, if I called his name, you know it. I could tell you the church that he passed while his kids was going to the bathroom. He had homosexuals in the church following his kids to the bathroom. Had it in my own church. Had a man come to my church like we were doing, brother, trying to reach people for Christ. He was a sinner, but I didn't know he was a homosexual. And I found out when my kids was going to the bathroom, he was getting up. It didn't take me long to catch on that. I said, every time that man moves, you follow him. We're living in a wicked day. Yeah, man. That's all they think about. That's all they see. That's all they know. And I'll tell you, what you watch, you will become. What you listen to, you will become. It's a wicked day. Amen. It was the worst day of judgment that ever happened. Bible said when this judgment hit, 1 in 8 people left. Now we've heard of some awful judgments. We've heard of tsunamis that wiped out 200,000 people. If I go by what learning men write, there was 1 billion people in the world at this time. And 8 got spared. Tally that up. 1 billion people perished in the flood, except for 8. It was the worst day of judgment. We're living in days of judgment. Somebody said, "Judgment's coming." No, judgment's not here. Amen. He said, somebody said, the homosexual movement is going to cause us to get judged. I tell you, the homosexual movement is judgment. Amen. I'm simply saying to us, it was the worst day of judgment that we've ever known. Epidemic of plagues and storms and earthquakes. You try to, and I'll tell you, even good men, some supposedly good men, have spoken out and said, this is judgment. And they had to retreat. Because that's not politically correct. To say when people die, that's the judgment of God. I tell you, it is the judgment of God. Amen. You think all this wickedness is taking place? God is in heaven smiling? No, God said, I'll judge you for that. Amen. Hey, it was the worst day of judgment. It was a waning day. Few were being saved. Now, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, before the flood, that's what that's going to be when the Lord comes again. He said, few was being saved, 800 of a billion. If these supposedly theologians are right, they tell me there could have well been a billion people in the world. Are you listening to me? Only 8 were saved in on the ark. Are you listening? I'm telling you, I don't know what y'all seen, but we're not seeing a lot of people saved. I think I made a statement last night. It used to be not unusual to see somebody saved on Wednesday. I don't see a lot. I don't know today we've had somebody saved on Wednesday. We're not seeing multitudes of people get saved. Are you listening? I'd like to say in our men's home, the men that come there, we had about 50 men now. I'd like to say those men sit under the gospel in the morning. They have devotions. They have Bible study. They have Bible study at night. They sit under the Word of God. 90 days, I'll tell you, the Bible. And many of them leave not saved. We're living in a day not many people being saved. Hello. I hope it's different from y'all. I hope it's being different for y'all. It's not being different for us. We're not seeing a lot of people saved. We're preaching the same thing. I heard Dr. Seidler say this one time. I heard him say that with my own ears. He said, I used to preach this message years ago and people would get saved. Now I can preach this message and the church won't even move. Are you listening? Why would we expect a sinner to come to altar when saints won't? Amen. Where's the days of revival when preaching would take place and the altars would be flooded and people would be weeping? Oh, God, save my family. Help us, Lord. We're not seeing a lot of people saved. Amen. Preach it to myself. Y'all listen while I preach to myself. It was a day of witnessing. Hey, it was a waning day, but it wasn't because the gospel wasn't being preached. Why? Well, the Bible said when Methuselah came, amen. The Bible said Enoch had Methuselah. Methuselah means when he dies, it's going to happen. In other words, when Methuselah dies, the judgment's coming. I studied that. I found out the day he died, it was within just a matter of days before the judgment came. Can you imagine every time Methuselah coughed? Oh, Enoch got up and said, boy, you all right? Because he knew when he died, it was over. Is anybody listening? I'm just simply saying, hey, God, his name was Methuselah. When he dies, it's going to happen. Amen. My point is simply this. Hey, there was a reminder when the name Methuselah that God can come at any moment. And I'm telling you, church, we're living in a day that the Lord can come at any moment. Amen. It was a day Enoch was partying. Amen. The rapture took place. Enoch checked out. That's all I can do not to preach on that. Amen. Enoch took off. Amen. He went for a walk and never came back. Thank God one day we'll get up and take our last step and we'll not come back, but we'll go to heaven. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. Amen. It was the day Noah was preaching. Bible said he preached. Matter of fact, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 said he was a preacher of righteousness. I tell you why the ark wasn't full. Why didn't they fill the ark up? He's preaching. He's telling them, judgment's coming. They didn't like righteousness. He said he was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. I believe he preached short of act right, spit white. Amen. Dress right. Amen. I just believe he preached righteousness. Amen. So and the Spirit was pleading, chapter 6, verse 3. The Bible said the Spirit of God was pleading. So I'm trying to say they did not have an excuse. And we're living in a world that, hey, the gospel is being sent out. But people aren't being saved. Amen. Noah rejected. Noah's day rejected preaching. They didn't like preaching. Amen. Hey, this crowd we're living around now, they don't like preaching. Amen. They like teaching. Amen. They want people to tickle their ears and scratch their backs. Hallelujah. And I want to say this. Maybe your pastor don't have this problem, but I'm telling you, I have visitors come to my church. I look at my message, so may as well help me right here. And I said, oh God, why have I got this today? Would anybody help me? God, you just know if I preach this, they ain't coming back. I was preaching somewhere in a revival, and I probably told a story here, I don't know. I was preaching somewhere in a revival, and the preacher told me on Monday or Tuesday, I don't know. He said, we got a guest choir coming tomorrow night. I said, praise God, that'd be wonderful. Well, I had my message, I had my notes, I had it all wrote down. When the choir walked in, I said, I'm in trouble. The choir walked up, I'm telling you, there was more flesh showing there than a lot of burlesque shows. When they walked up in the choir, I'm going to tell you, I won't describe that, but it was nothing but flesh showing. Amen. Dresses up to here, dresses down to there, and I had my message, and I was dealing with that night. And so God said, all right, big boy. But he didn't say big boy, all right, little boy. What you going to do tonight? He said, the last time you preached it, you just ran back and preached it. So what you going to do tonight? And I said, God, with your help, I'm a preacher, amen. So I closed my eyes and plunged out there and preached. I preached against everything they were doing. I preached against the way they loved. I'm telling you, when I got through, they were going outside doors, back doors. Why nobody coming out my door? Amen. We're living in a wicked day, friend. They're paraded in church. Amen. And the next night, the preacher's wife picked me up. She was dressed like that. As to say, preach on, boy, but I ain't changing. Amen. Hey, they did not like preaching. They did not like Noah preaching. And I'm going to tell you, this church age we're in, they do not like preaching. Amen. It was not only they didn't like preaching, it was the day they rejoiced in perversion. As it was in the days of Noah, so as it was in the days of Lot. And our brother just handled that tonight. Would you ever thought that in the pulpits that we stand on, we would have to deal with open homosexuality in the church? We've come to that day. Told the pastor today, was eating supper. Have a dear friend of mine, pastor's a rather large church. He preached one Sunday morning. He preached on the sin of homosexuality. He had four families leave his church. And one of them was a preacher. Here's what I found out. Everybody's against it until it gets in your family. When it gets in your family, we become a little more sympathetic. Well, that's my son, you know. I tell you, if it's my son, it's wrong. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, wrong is wrong. I don't care if you do it, I do it, my children do it, your children do it. Wrong is wrong, and you ought to back the man of God when he has to stand against sin. Hey, it's not a pleasant job to have to preach on sin, but we have to preach on sin to help the church stay pure. Amen. I say this not for any glory. I had to put my own son-in-law at the church. My son-in-law got in sin. Hey, if I'd have been out light on my son-in-law, hey, the church could have said, hey, you preached on it until you got to your family. Somebody help me. Matter of fact, I told the church, I'll be hard on my family than I will yours. Hello, Tokyo. Is anybody listening? Amen. I tell you what I'm doing. I tell you what our church did. I tell you what it did. It caused him to get saved. Thank God I stood where I should have stood because my son-in-law got saved through that. And when he come back to church, Brother Raines told me this. He said, Brother Willis, I'll tell you something now. What's happening in your church is going to take your church one of two ways. He said, it's either going to damage it very badly, or if you come out of it, it ought to be better than ever. He said, but I hate to tell you this. It ain't likely everybody's going to agree. When you church discipline him, if he wants to come back. So I stood him before the church. After 3 years, I kept him out of church 3 years. I had family disagreed with me. But I kept him out of church 3 years to get this problem solved. I'm getting very personal with y'all. Are you listening to me? But when I stood him before the church, every member of the church come to him and told him they was glad he'd gotten right and they welcomed him back in the church. Hallelujah! Had that not happened, I don't know where I'd be tonight. Oh, you listen. I'm simply saying we're living in a day that, I'm going to tell you what, is a day of perversion. Sexual sins is killing us. Are you listening to me? I don't like to be that graphic. As graphic as that. I don't like to be that graphic. But I'm telling you, church, it's where we're living. Hey, they rejoice in perversion. Amen and amen. Listen to this. Hey, listen to this. How are you going to survive in that kind of day? How are you going to survive in a day like we're living? Real quick, let me tell you how you going to survive. Chapter 6, verse 8. I'll be brief. I apologize. I preached too long last night. Look at chapter 6, verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here's how you're going to make it. You're going to have to find grace. Or let grace find you. Oh, you listen to me? Hey, the Bible said he was just, he was perfect, he walked with God. Amen. Hey, you just have to find grace in the eyes of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, you listen to me? He found grace in the eyes of God. Hey, it was by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Noah. Amen. I'm simply saying, hey, you're going to make it by grace. If any of us make it, it's going to be grace that saves us, and it's going to be grace that sustains us. Yeah. Amen, amen. For the grace of God to bring us salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly love, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Hey, I ain't got no use for this grace that don't change your living.
Yeah.
We got a grace today that they say you can sin. This grace says you ought not sin.
Yeah.
You know, who's teaching you? What's teaching you? Hey, the grace that saves you is the grace of the teacher to live soberly, righteously, and godly. That's the grace of the Bible. I'm telling you, we got a preacher today preaching a grace that, I'm telling you, you can get saved, they say, and don't change. I don't believe that. Man, I didn't believe that when I was lost. I knew when I was lost, if I ever walked down the aisle and got saved, something's going to change. I don't know how I knew that. I just knew it. Amen. Thank you, call it repentance. Amen. May I ask you, who's teaching you? What's influencing your life? How are you going to make it today? You're going to have grace influencing you. Are you listening? The Bible said over in 2 Corinthians, let me turn there real quick. Over in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. Amen. Verse number 18. Here's what he says. He said, but we with all an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. Here's what he's saying. You're going to have to stay exposed in order to be changed. Stay with me just a minute. I want to make a point, all right? You're not going to be changed by effort. You're going to be changed by exposure. I'll give you an example. We have people in our church come on Sunday morning, and I see them come to the altar. I see them praying. I see them weeping. Every aspect of that, I would not judge their motives. They look like they got right. But they leave Sunday morning and won't come back Sunday night. You're not going to live for God if you don't stay exposed. You've got to stay exposed to the grace of God. You've got to stay exposed to the things of God. I believe what they're coming down here to do is they're making an effort to get right with God, but they don't stay exposed. And if you don't stay exposed to the things of God, you're not going to make it. Amen. I keep myself exposed. I stay around preaching. I stay around singing. I stay around the Bible. I stay around. Hey, I'm not talking about always in church. I got it on my car. I got it on my radio. I got it everywhere. I got to stay exposed to the things of God because effort's not going to change. I'm making up my mind to do better. You ain't going to do it that way. I tell you what Bob said about Daniel. He purposed in his heart. You better get about 18 inches down. Making up your mind ain't going to help you live for God. You just got to stay exposed to the thing of God. I tell you how Noah made it. He stayed exposed. He found grace in the eyes of God. Hey, you don't need prime time. You need preaching time. I think what's causing so much confusion is we're so exposed to prime time and little preaching time that, hey, prime time changes us and preaching time don't. Stay exposed to preaching time. Yeah, I don't need soap operas. I thought that's a paradox. Soap opera. Soap's supposed to clean you. Them things will make you filthy. Somebody help me right now. Hey, you don't need soap operas. You need sermons often. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, you need them sermons out of the King James Borax Bible, amen. They used to have borax back in my days, amen. Yeah, God didn't get stains out of anything, amen. You need some. You don't need these new modern translations. You need borax. King James! I was preaching, I ain't trying to tell you all where I've been. I don't know how. Some of the places I got, I don't know how in the world. One preacher told me, the only reason you get to preach some place is you got a different accent. That's what he told me. He said, preacher, you wouldn't have left that season if you didn't have a different accent. I said, you're probably right. I was preaching in Montana one time, and I preached at a service that night. We was eating supper with the family the next night, and here's what the lady told us at the supper table. She said, I grew up in a liberal church. And she said, the first time I visited, and now she's saved, she's in an independent Baptist church, Brother Billy Carter. And here's what she said. She said, the first time I walked in that church and they read from that King James Bible, I got under conviction. She said, all my life of going to liberal churches and had modern versions and NIVs, non-inspired versions. She said, all those liberal Bibles. She said, the first time they read from that King James Bible, I got under conviction and got saved. You don't need soap operas. You need sermons. Yeah, you don't need the clubhouse. You need the church house. I tell them in the home, get out of the crack house and get in the God's church. Amen. Hey, you don't need the world. You need worship. I'm telling you what changes. We're being changed by the world. The world's changing us instead of us changing the world. Amen. You don't need rock and roll. But only rock and roll you need is Rock of Ages, Cleft of Me, and when the roll is called up, you'll know I'll be there. Somebody help me. I'm telling you. Here's what little bit of reading I've done. The first thing that's going to change your church. Had a church in our preacher's fellowship that a new pastor took over. And when he took that church over, underminingly, he was leading it to a purpose-driven church. I'm talking about out of a great church with a great pastor and went to a very fundamental school. And he sat under the regular pastor for about 2 or 3 years, and the regular pastor stepped down. And when he stepped down, he had programmed this boy or got this boy ready to take the church over. And so when the pastor stepped down, he took over, and underminingly, he tried to lead it in a purpose-driven church. And tonight, that church is in shambles. Talking about a good church, had a good pastor, and tonight that church is torn to splinters because some liberal preacher under the skies of a wolf, hey, took the church and tried to lead it to a purpose-driven church. I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, hey, first thing, here's what he did, change the music. The first thing he did was change the music. And his next step was, he was going to change the Bible. I'm telling you, our music, you can't thank God enough. Listen to me, church. I ain't come tell you nothing new. I just come back up what the pastor believes. You better stick with the songs you got. And don't, well, we're in a modern day and we need something a little more. No, you better stick with the old time way. Thank God, thank God. Let's stick with, hey, to this world, we're a bunch of off-scouring. But I'm glad to be telling we're the old saints of God. I want to stay in the old way. Hey, I preached one time on get back to the old path. Our church was running about 40. This was years ago. Our church was running about 40. And we got some visitors coming in and some people coming regularly. So we got up to about 70, 75. I thought I was a doctor then. That was about 25 years ago. And we got up to about 70, 75. And I got up one Sunday and preached on Jeremiah, get back to the old path. And 40 of them did. That ain't the past I'm talking about. Y'all come back. Is anybody listening? I want to stick with the old path. I believe in preaching, praying, shouting, and preaching. Don't get it done. Hang it up. That's what God designed. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's stay exposed. Amen. Hey, to preaching, to praying, to praising. Amen. Don't ever think this is out of fashion. It's out of step with the world, but it's in step with God. So I say you got to find grace. Number two, he had family government. Look back in our text in Genesis. Look in Genesis chapter number 7. Look in verse number 7. The Bible said in verse number 7, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Look at verse 13. And the Bible said, and what? And the south said, they enter Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and his three wives, and his sons with them into the ark. Not only Noah find grace, Noah, he governed his family. I said, Noah governed his family. All right, listen to me. The Bible said he went in. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come down, hold thy house into the ark. Now notice this. He said, Noah, I want you to come into the ark. He didn't say, Noah, go in the ark. He said, Noah, come in the ark. That tells me if somebody knocks on my door and I'm outside, I'd say, go in. But if I'm in the house, I'd say, come in. That tells me the Lord was in the ark. He said, Noah, just come on in. Matter of fact, the Lord was the ark. He said, come in to the ark. Hey, he went in because there was a plea. Come into the ark. Wait a minute. He didn't say stand on the ark. He didn't say hold on to the ark. He said come into the ark. I want you to know I ain't holding on. Hallelujah. I'm in Christ. I'm not just a follower of Christ. I'm in Christ. Hey, we got a girl coming out of church about once every 2 months. She's a Muslim. And she's an exchange student of a family that visits our church. And I was preaching one Sunday on, being in Christ. And she's a Muslim. And I said, I'm not a follower of Buddha. His followers follow him. I'm not a follower of Mohammed. I didn't know she was going to be there. I said, I'm in Christ. I said, all those that follow Buddha and follow Mohammed, they're followers. I'm not just a follower of Christ. I'm in Christ. You can't be in Buddha. You can't be in Muhammad. You just can follow him. I'm not an imitator. Amen. I'm not an imitator of Christ. I've been grafted in to the Son of God. Thank God we got more than the religions of the world. All of them are following some man. But we're in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just trying to say there was a plea. Notice it was personal. Come down. Remember that morning God called you personally. I remember that night I was personally called. It was as God said from heaven, Alfred Willis, tonight's your night. And I stepped out and run down that aisle and slid into an altar and got saved. It was a personal call. It was 400 people in that building. But I'm telling you, that night God singled me out. I don't know who else he got that night, but I know I heard a call from him. It was a personal call. Amen. And I come down an aisle and got saved. And the man who led me to the Lord is the man who wrote There's a Lighthouse on the Hillside that overlooks Life Sea. Amen. Ronnie Henson led me to the Lord. And I got up to leave. And this is what he said. He said, Mr. Willis, hold on. He could sing good, but he didn't have good doctrine. Anybody listen? Dear God, I did. I held on as long as I could. Then I got to a good church. They said, you don't have to hold on. This man said, hold on. This man said, you didn't have to hold on. I didn't know what to do. Amen. Thank God. I went back to the Baptist church I grew up in. Hey, I got saved on a Thursday night in a church that was Pentecostal. I got saved. I'm telling you, I'm saved, but I got saved in a Pentecostal church. I went back to church on Thursday. Amen. When I left that building that night, I'm telling you, 400 people that running all over the building, shouting, hollering, screaming, saying things I couldn't even understand. Somebody help me. And they said, hold on now. Hold on. I got back to the church. I went to the altar over on Sunday morning. I said, preacher, I was in a meeting Thursday night, and I got saved. Amen. I got glory. Shouting the preacher. He didn't know what to do. Amen. Deacon come up to me. That's what Deacon said. He said, let me tell you something. If you got saved, Alfred, he said, you saved eternally. You can never lose it. I said, well, he told me to hold on. He said, you don't have to hold on. God's holding you. Amen. I said, glory to God. I ain't never heard that. I said, that sounds better than that. But what got me was, they were happy about trying to hold on. And this crowd looked like they was mad because they couldn't lose it. Somebody help me. And I said, hey, I'd rather have what they have holding on than to have what they have. They looked like it made them mad. They couldn't lose. Somebody help me. But I found this crowd. Here's what this crowd said. You can be happy and because he's holding you. If anybody ought to shout, it ought to be us. Why are they shouting and they're holding on? And we ain't shouting and we ain't got to hold on. Amen. I'm just trying to say, hey, Noah was a person. It was a parental call. Come down all thy house. I don't know what you believe about this, but there's some tendencies that make me believe it's not a doctrine. But if you get saved, Daddy, your family might get saved. Amen. I think we can run that through the Bible and find quite a few instances where the daddy got saved and the rest of the house got saved.
Amen.
Amen. My point is simply this. He said, hey, Noah, I want you to come. It's a personal call. Amen. Come thou, personal call, and then all thy house I want them to come. And thank God the whole family got home. Hallelujah. I believe when they got home, when they got ready, Noah had taught them boys how to work. You'll never convince me, I don't want to break no typology, but you'll never convince me Noah's out there building a boat 450 foot long, 45 foot wide, 75 foot high. He ain't out there building no boat by himself. I think he's got Shem, Ham, and Japheth out there heading. Amen. He probably told the boys to pitch in. He said, we're building it out of gopher wood. Ham, go for some wood. Somebody help me. Yeah, man. I will never be convinced that Noah built that ark by himself. I believe his boys was taught to work. Yeah, man. Daddy, the worst thing you could ever do is not teach your children to work. Pull their pants. You know why half this crowd we're living in this society can't work? Their pants are so low they can't even walk. Pull your pants up. Hallelujah. First thing we get when the boys come to the home, first thing they'll tell them, pull your pants up. That come out of jail. That come out of prison. Amen. Walk around with your pants hanging down. Pull your... I had a boy in my church. His young teenage boy. His mom and daddy. Daddy was in prison. His mama was in prison. His grandmama was raising him. We give her a place to stay to raise him. The church supplied a place for them to stay to raise him. God had touched him. God had saved him. God was using him to preach around in some meetings. I take him to youth meetings. He's preaching. All of a sudden, you can see it in their eyes. You can see it in that faraway look. I saw that faraway look coming in his eye. And one day, he had the audacity to walk in the church with his pants hanging down. And he was 16, but he was about 6'2" and weighed about 225 pounds. And I ain't real big, but I'm this big. I walked out to him 16 years old. I said, look here, boy, you've heard preaching this church all your life. Pull your pants up. If you don't, I'm going to pull them up and tie them around your neck. You know where he is tonight? He's in some kind of cult. He wrote us back and said, I challenge y'all to a debate. What y'all have taught me, I want to debate it. Bible said, answer not a fool. All you heard and all you've been around, I don't have to give you any debate. You on nothing. Somebody hit me. And I ain't mad. I'm just simply saying, you know what his big problem was? He didn't have nobody to teach him to work. Hello? Far as I know, he still ain't working, living off the government. Hello? I believe he taught him how to worship. I believe old Noah taught them boys how to worship. Praise God. I know in our church, when I went to St. Stephen's started church, we didn't have a television. So on Friday, Saturday night, we would have church. We'd get back there in the den, and Philip, he was about that high then, and I built him a pulpit. He had a pulpit built. He said, God, he would get up and preach. So I built him a little pulpit. And so he'd get and preach. He was the preacher. And I was the man who took up the offering. And Sister Lenore, she was the congregation. Amen. And my daughter was the piano player. And so Marcy would play the piano, and I'd take up the offering from Sister Lenore, and I'd sit back down, and I said, all right, preaching time. And old Philip, he'd get up and start preaching. Get ready for God! I said, amen, brother! Preach! I'm telling you something nice. God showed up in that place. And today, he's a preacher, my daughter's a pianist. I ain't glory! I believe you're talking out of work. I was better going to the movies. Hallelujah. I'm just simply saying, hey, we better teach our children about worship. Hey, mom and dad, why should your children testify if you don't? Why should your children go to the altar if you don't? Why should your children be faithful if you don't? Amen. It was the day. How you going to make it? I'm just simply saying, he had family government. I ain't trying to make this sound wrong. Just Noah said, hey, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to work. We're going to worship. And then he told them boys about winning. Did this ever dawn on you? He found three women to marry his saved boys in a world that nobody else was saved in. So there are some out there. The Bible said, to a man, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Hey, you ought to be looking not for a sexy woman, but for a saintly woman. A lot of these girls this day, they're trying to look sexy so they can get the boys in the church. Now look at them. Don't even look at that crowd. Act like you don't even see them. And God, if you'll stay faithful to God, God will give you a man for life. That's saintly. Hallelujah. I told my wife today, we were talking about some things. I said, how am I going to tell that boy, amen, that I'm going, how can I tell this boy right here, here's a godly girl for you to look at if you ain't living right? You know the first thing you ought to do when your son starts looking for a girl? Somebody help me. You ought to ask the preacher what he thinks about that girl. Hello. Here I go preaching too long again tonight. It's something about y'all make me preach too long. I'm just saying the same boys. The Bible says you're supposed to be looking. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And girls, you need to be in the right spot when he looks. And don't try to win him being sexy. Win him being saintly. Don't try to win him with get your dress over your knee and getting your dress low down. Get it, hey, put them down to your ankles and up to your neck. That's all right. And I'll tell you, about 40 years down the road, you'll thank God that the preacher told you not to mess with them sexy women. Thank God. Amen. He taught them about women. And they found some in a wicked day. Evidently, their mamas and daddies wasn't saved. Amen. So there's some good girls out there. You just got to look the right place. And girls, just be there when you look. That ain't real deep. Could I remind you this? Ham didn't fall to his daddy did. Ham, Noah's the one got drunk. Then Ham messed up. Let me tell you something, Daddy. This ain't Father's Day. But let me tell you something, Daddy. Your house is probably never going to be no stronger than you are. You better teach your children to work. You better teach them to worship. You better teach them about women. You better teach them about a lot of things. In order to do that, you've got to be right. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. I'm almost through. How did he make it? He found faith in God. Look at Hebrews 11. I'm through. Hebrews 11. Felt like last night I should have cut it off sooner. So I'm going to give you this point. I'm through. Hebrews 11. I told my wife when I got back in the room last night. I said, I preached too long. Didn't mean to do that last night. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at this and I'm through. Verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, saving his eyes, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now that verse says he entered by faith, and the last two words is by faith. He entered by faith, he come out by faith. I'm telling you, I got in this thing by faith. I want to finish this thing in faith. Amen and amen. He found, hey, he had faith in God, but no other person was doing it. He didn't have no neighbors to identify with. He didn't have nobody to go to work with that was saved. Noah stood by himself. So you can't stand. Hey, chances are, I know there's exceptions. Down on your job, there ain't nobody believes the Bible like you do. You're blessed if you've got a brother on the job that's saved. But even having a saved brother sometimes is not all it is, because they got another doctrine. They don't believe what you believe. And sometimes that turns into an argument. Somebody help me. But thank God if you find some saved people on the job, but by and large, on your job, pretty much this would be so, you're probably standing by yourself. Amen. Noah did. When nobody else was serving God, Noah was serving God. He had no purpose. He had no pattern. Our ark had never been built. He didn't have a pattern to go by. God said, Noah, build an ark. An ark, what is that? And Noah went out there and got instructions from God. I was preaching in Dunlap, Tennessee. I remember it like it's yesterday, years ago. Preaching in Dunlap, Tennessee. Preacher said, preach tomorrow, I'll pick you up and show you something. I said, good. He picked me up, took me over to the side of a mountain. He said, and when I got over there, there was a board runway that back way up, and that runway run down like that, and that thing was built right to the edge of a mountain. And so that I said, what is that board runway? He said, that's why I brought you over here. He said, people get on that runway, and they got these gliders, and they run down that runway, and they jump off the end of that mountain. And they float. They glide with them gliders. And sometimes, this is in Tennessee, sometimes if the current winds are right, sometimes they end up in Alabama. He said, but every year we lose about one or two. I said, you are telling me that people run down that runway and jump off that mountain with a glider? He said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. I said, they are crazy. I got back in the car and I was riding back to the place I was staying, and this is what occurred to me. I can understand some of them doing that because others have done it. But how about the first person who did it? He was a complete idiot. So I got back to the church that night, and I was so overtaken by that. I got up and preached. I said, the preacher took me over there today to the side of that mountain where people run down that runway and run off the end of that mountain. They are absolutely crazy. Got to the back door that night. Y'all know the story. Lady walked up to me and she said, preacher, did you? I say I was crazy. I said, I don't think so. She said, well, I'm one of them ones that run down that mountain and jump off the end of that mountain. I said, did I say that? Hey, Noah built an ark when nobody had ever built one. 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, and 45 foot high. He had never seen that done, but he did by faith what God told him to do. Hey, by the way, was no person ever done it. Wasn't no pattern to go by. There was no precipitation. Genesis 2:6 said the water come up out of the ground. It didn't fall out of the sky. God said, Noah, it's going to rain and flood this world. What is rain? The man had faith. He believed God. God said, it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And Noah believed God and had never seen rain. I take my hat off to Noah. He served God when nobody else was serving God. He built an ark when nobody never built one. I tell you, he built an ark because it's going to rain. He'd never seen rain. Is anybody listening? Is anybody listening? It was a new project. It was a faith project. 450 foot long, 45 foot wide, 75 foot wide, 45 foot high. And he had a global ministry in a local church. Listen now. The Bible said he built an ark to the saving of his house. He didn't build an ark to save the world. He built an ark to save his house. Hebrews 11:7 said he built that ark to save his house. But while he was saving his house, he saved the world. I'm glad in a dark day when everybody's going crazy, hey, we got a local ministry right here and we've got a global ministry, missionaries around the world. Somebody help me. I'm glad more, and it's always said at our church, just like y'all, more's going on here than what you see. Sometimes I go to my church, if there wasn't more going on in the world than what I see in our church, I get discouraged. But we've got missionaries all over the world. Y'all got missionaries on. Y'all got men out of your church, starting churches, pastoring church. Hey, he built an ark to save his house. But hey, saving his house saved the world. You know what would save the world? If we would get our houses right with God. Anybody listen? I mean a big project. In a dark day, when everybody was doing wrong, he had a gigantic faith project. Hallelujah. And he was an old man. Glory to God. I'll just stop right there. Notice this. And it was divine provision. It wasn't his idea. It was God's idea. It was a divine plan. A black box because he pitched it. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Pitch was black. It was like tar. He pitched it inside and out. It was black on the outside and black on the inside. Is anybody listening? And 450 foot long. Can't you imagine D-Hack coming down there? Sitting out there on the side of the hill. 450 foot long. 45 foot high. 75 foot wide. Black. This is an eyesore to the community. I'm going to inspect this thing. I don't have to inspect too far because you've got one door. Don't you know if a fire breaks out, we ain't got but one way out. He said, officer, ain't no fire coming, but a lot of water. Shit, glory! Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, they're passing laws today. You can't build nothing. We're trying to build a home. They want $80,000 to put in a sprinkler system. Are y'all listening? I can't tell you the foul. They told us if we put in a private septic tank, it's going to cost us $50,000. They said your water system is going to cost $50,000. They're zoning us and coding us to death. We're living in a dark day that a world that doesn't know God thinks all these laws is to produce something good. But I'm telling you, it's trying to rule God out of everything. Most of them pass against the church. Are y'all listening? How are you going to survive in this society? You got to have faith in God. Amen. Just when he says it, just grin and bear it. Hello. Is anybody listening? God told Noah to build it. It was a divine plan. Had one door. God says specifically, don't put but one door in it. Can you imagine the fire marshal on that? I ain't trying to make nothing light. I'm just trying to say. Hey, he said, this is what I read. Y'all help me on this. I read all the dimensions of putting, and then put dimensions on the door. It don't say make the door so wide and so high. It just said put a door in it. Is anybody listening? He said build it 450 foot long. Build it so many wide. Build it so many high. All that was in footage. But he didn't put a dimension on the door. So an elephant can go in the door and an ant can go in the door. Big sinners can get in and little sinners can get in. Young kids can get in and old sinners can get in. Hey, get the door where anybody can get in who wants to get in. By the way, you ever thought about that door? Somebody help me with that door. You ever thought about a door? A door is no value until you hang it. I see that door. I was looking at that door over there tonight. I was looking at that door. That's a beautiful door. But if I take that door right there and set it over here by this wall right here, and we can sit right there, that's a 6-panel door. I say, man, that's a pretty white door, 6-panel. Man, that is a beautiful door. That is a lovely door. But I tell you, that door wouldn't do no good. You know what makes that door value? We hung it. Hey, you know what that door does? It shuts people out. Hallelujah. And it shuts us in. He said, put a door in the side. Hallelujah. Now, but thank Jesus is the door. He had a beautiful life. He had a perfect life. But that life wouldn't save nobody. If not till they hung him, that he provided salvation. Amen. Glory to God. I was preaching out in a camp meeting somewhere, and a preacher and a man, my carpenter, walked up to me, and he said, Brother Willis, he said, can I tell you something about that door, my carpenter? I said, tell me all you can tell me. He said, I always found this about doors. He said, but cheap doors have two attachment places, but expensive doors have three attachment places. I thought about Jesus. Hey, he was nailed there. He was nailed there. He was nailed there. He's a perfect door. Y'all listen to me. I'm just simply saying, hey, it was a divine plan. Amen. God planned this. God planned this ark. Amen. Amen and amen. Notice this, and I'm through. I'm through. It had divine preservation. Eight went in the ark, and eight come out the ark. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I imagine in that ark when that storm hit, I can imagine old Noah sitting there, and I'm telling you, that storm that hit the world, I imagine he's in that ark, and that wind was blowing on Noah. Oh. 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 I imagine he got shook around a good bit in that ark, but he never fell out. I'll tell you, when you get in the ark, you might get shook around. You might not think sometimes you're going to make it. But God has us preserved. We're going to make it to the end. Eight went in, and eight came out. Can I tell you something about that ark? It had a lion and a lamb. And they wasn't fighting. On the ark, things changed. The lamb wasn't being eaten by the lion. Because in the ark, hey, everybody's in peace with each other. Hey, when you get in Christ, the ark, hallelujah, the lions and the lambs will get along. Somebody help me. Hallelujah. Hey, it was a divine provision. Amen. He got in because he feared God. I'm through. Can you imagine this? I don't think this would be hard to imagine. Little boy's down there playing one day. He's out there, and all of a sudden he's playing with his buddies. He feels something hit him. He said, man, that's water. He said, I ain't never felt water fall out of the sky before. And the rain hit him again. And hit him in the head. And he said, buddy, what's going on? He said, I don't know. That's water falling out of him. And they run back to the house. And they said, Daddy, we was out there playing in the yard. And water hit us. And it fell out of heaven. And Daddy, we remember there was an old man down yonder had some big building he was building, and he kept telling us, rain's coming, rain's coming, rain's coming. And they said, Daddy, this water's falling and it's getting more and more. Be quiet, boy. That old man, that's crazy. That can't be no water falling. Daddy, go out in the yard. See what's happening, Daddy. And Daddy walks out in the yard and rain starts coming. And it gets more and it gets more. And the little boy said, Daddy, Daddy, that's not what that old preacher was preaching about. Judgment coming. Judgment coming. And Daddy is doing what he said he was going to do. Water's falling out of heaven. And the water kept coming and the water kept coming. And now the water's getting higher. And they get up a little bit higher. And the water gets higher. And they get up a little bit higher. And the water gets higher. And they get up a little bit higher. And hey, then the water, Thelma takes them. And they're screaming, hey, Noah! Noah, let us in, Noah! Let us in, Noah! But Noah couldn't let them in. Because God shut the door. You know what I believe? I believe if I'd been Noah, and God hadn't shut that door, and I'd shut that door, I would open that door. But Noah couldn't open it. Because God shut the door. Now I'm telling you, church, one day, when the judgment of God falls on this world, if you're not in the ark, Christ Jesus, judgment's coming, and if you're not ready to meet Him, it's going to be too late. And no doubt you could say, oh, I wish I'd have been saved. Oh, God, help me. I wish I'd have been saved. It's going to be too late. Mama can't save you. Daddy can't save you. The preacher can't save you. And God won't even save you. Because you had chance after chance after chance. And now it's too late. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you in the ark? Are you sure you're saved? Are you ready to go to heaven? Are you able to survive in a world that's going crazy? And everything about this world tells me that soon Jesus must be surely coming to take us out. Let's stand. Let's pray. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, honor Your word tonight. Rescue somebody. Save some family. By that I mean, God, not necessarily salvation, but rescue their home. Help them, God, to have a godly home. Rescue souls from hell. Rescue all of us, God, that, Lord, we'll survive in a world that's gone crazy. And God, we believe it is. There'd be no way to preach enough about the way our world is gone. But God, we're sitting by looking at the very things You said would be happening. We're watching them take place before our very eyes. Help us to be in the mode of looking for the coming of the Son of God and to be right with God and send revival to our churches. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Musicians are coming. Song is being getting ready. The altar's open tonight. If you need to come, maybe I'm not trying to get a big altar call. I'm just saying, whatever the burden on your heart, a lost family member maybe needs to be saved. You've prayed and prayed. And I got a lost brother tonight. I prayed and prayed and prayed. Oh, God, don't let them get caught in the judgment to come. Get some help tonight. We're going to sing. You come as we sing. Amen. Get some help tonight.